seeking the help of the Lord and trusting the word we have been led to is of the Lord. I would ask you to turn into the prophecy of Isaiah at chapter 3 and verse 10. 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given. This is the word of God. Do you believe that the word of God is an unchanging word? That everything that's contained in this holy book will be fulfilled in God's own time according to his eternal purpose? Do you believe that this word is of the blessed Spirit's indicting? And under his anointing will be made the satisfaction of living souls, but also will be the solemn condemnation of the unbeliever. We need to come to this place of heart searching, because many would say, yes, they believe that the Bible is the word of God. They will accept that which is acceptable to them and turn from that which condemns them. The child of God is not so. He's brought to tremble at every word of God which is wholly pure. I say, it's a mercy if by the grace of God and under the Holy Spirit's teaching we have been brought into such a condition of heart and mind and spirit that we confess before a heart searching God, thy word is true. Not everyone will, but how about you and I? And how shall we know whether it be so rightly before God? How do we know whether the words of our mouth are truth or whether they are but hypocrisy? Because we can easily say words. We can give expression to those things which are right, but they're not from our heart. Oh, there will be, I believe, a deep exercise whenever we approach the holy things of God, especially as we turn to his word. We know that he has said of it that it shall not return to him void. It shall accomplish that whereto he sends it, and it will prosper. Who will it prosper? Those who receive it and in humble faith believe it and live upon it, feel the need of it, walk in the light of it, and in all things confess that this is the word of the Lord that endureth forever. We have such a word before us in our text. It won't change. And we are reminded as we venture with this word, we've had to try and speak from it before now, but you know, we shall never wear it out. And when the Holy Spirit brings a word and lays it in the heart, under the application of that word, there is profit. Even if it's strength, even if it brings us to tremble before God as to whether we are possessors of that faith and that grace to whom the word spoken is made good. It is a mercy to have an interest. It's a blessed word. The servant of God here, the prophet Isaiah, as with all the servants of God, was placed under a very solemn responsibility. He was to preach the word that was given. He was to speak of that which God would have him speak. No, I do humbly and earnestly pray that we may be kept in that spirit as we attempt in our poor ministry to preach the gospel. Oh, it would be a good thing if everyone that went upon the walls of Zion or was there continually. How easily we fall. How we have to learn that that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. And how we find to our sorrow oftentimes that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And those things expressed that spring but from our own mind and carnal heart are not honouring to God. We need to be delivered from an unrighteous spirit that would seek to please man at all times. For God has not so declared, his word shall go forth. Here the prophet Isaiah had a very solemn message. Very blessed to one. Very solemn to the other. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. But woe unto the wicked. Not to keep quiet to the wicked, not to cover it up, not to make excuses, not to set them on a false hope and say, well, it may be that you're not so bad after all. You know the word of God. You've only got to attend to those things that declared therein, and you have no fear. Very solemn thing to come before God as a worshipper and your heart's not right. Again, I say, we can say many things with our lips, but God searcheth the heart. Now, in relation to this word before us, what a mercy, what a blessing for us if we have a true interest in this word. There are blessings and there are curses, and each will in their due season be fulfilled. And thus you and I come under one or the other. We shall be found amongst those whose hearts the Lord has wrought upon, changed, given that new heart, a heart to believe all that he has said, a heart that will cleave to the living God, a heart that will mourn over sin and after Jesus Christ. Ah, if that be so, then this word will be a blessing to us. What a mercy, I say, if we can enter into the comfort that such a word do give, to sweetly realize that the Lord in mercy has looked upon us in our sad and sorrowful state and has therefore given command that there shall be comfort for your soul. Say ye, to the righteous it shall be well with him. for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But you know, there's no comfort realized from any one word of the truth of God except the Holy Ghost applied. That's the only way you'll realize any comfort spiritually. It might ease a troubled natural conscience, and I speak that we know. How many times have we, in the years that we've been spared, sought the word of the Lord to ease a troubled conscience? But only naturally. That when the Holy Ghost applies a word to a troubled conscience spiritually, then it's balm of Gilead. Then it's the word of the Lord with power, and it's sent for the express purpose of healing. That's all. Oh, if you know what it is to come burdened and cast down, to come in the language of the psalmist as we have read this evening, trouble, burden, sorrowing, crying, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Oh, that's not a natural word. This is the fruit of the Spirit within. It's the mark and evidence of divine life. I sought the Lord. I didn't just go with those that do seek him. I sought him. Wonderful mercy to be a seeker. A true seeker. Feeling your need of him. And then through that felt need, feeling your way along Zion's path. Oh, you do not find it an easy path. Many obstacles to be overcome, but you're feeling your way. Poor, needy, yes they are. But the word of God informs such that they have a good guide, and a Saviour, one who saves to the uttermost, and one who delivers. And so, these seeking ones, amidst all their fears and weakness, find within an exercise of faith that looks to one who has promised. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Oh, what a word when it's applied, it shall be well. But what is the other side of this picture, even concerning the children of God? It's the exercise in this, as to whether you can be numbered amongst these whom God has said are righteous. We need to heed the exhortations of the Scriptures. And I believe the Holy Spirit will bring you to heed the exhortations of the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul was led by the Spirit to write many for our instruction, for our learning, and to bring us into the right spot and place where we shall worship God aright. One place in his writing, he exhorts believers to make your calling and election sure. Oh, he would say to such, don't be careless in this matter. It concerns the eternal welfare of your never-dying soul. Don't be careless about it. Give heed. Search earnestly. Wait on the Lord in this matter until he bring you the answer of peace. Yes, it is so necessary that we make our calling and election sure. Now, if those two things are sealed, you'll come in with this this character in our text, with whom it shall be well. The righteous. Ah, oh, but am I amongst these? Have I this witness that my calling is right? Am I amongst the election of grace, a little remnant, whom the Lord has everlastingly chosen to set his eternal love upon? How can I know that I'm amongst them? Is this the exercise and burden of your soul? Are these the exercises of the righteous to whom this promise is given? That they shall be well with them, and that they, the reward of his hand shall be given him. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Yes, full of fears. It was very true. I was talking on Saturday evening for a little while to our old friend Mrs. Willis, and she reminded me of years ago. We were talking of the older days as we looked at some old magazines concerning Oxford, when they worshipped there before the present chapel was built, when they worshipped in what was called Higgins Room. And a man came one day to speak there, to preach there. Couldn't find it, so he inquired, did they know if there was a place of worship in the area? No. And they said they were called the Strip Baptists. No, I don't know them. But there are a few people meeting that room up there who think they're the only people that are going to heaven. Oh, he said, that's the place. He said, but you got it wrong. He said, they're the only people who are afraid they won't get to heaven. But he said, that's the place I want. And I thought, well, that's still true today. The children of God, the righteous, who shall obtain that eternal inheritance, are the most fearing amongst the sons of men. And why is this? Because they've been brought by the grace of God to know the evil that indwells their own heart. And that's quite sufficient to bring them as fearing ones to his feet. They don't need to look at others. The dear apostle was an example of this. Oh, he mourned the sin that indwelled him. Oh, wretched man that I am, he declared. What? This wondrous creature of the everlasting gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, he was used to build up the churches in their most holy faith. Wretched man, he said. Oh, this body of sin and death, who shall deliver me from it? How shall I escape from the bonds of it? How shall I know that when the time of my sojourn here is finished, I shall be found in eternal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom my soul loveth? I want the witness, and that's the same experience in the family of God. Tried, troubled, burdened. You want to know? Well, I say, when this exercise lays upon you, when you are brought to examine yourselves before a heart-searching God as to your state and standing, this is what you want. You want to hear his voice. And you want to hear him speak personally, effectually, powerfully, to your own heart. And what a mercy that the Lord does so. He makes it an urgent, pressing case, and then this soul presses close after him, implores, pleads, importunes. Oh, it's not without reason the Lord left that parable in the word of the importunate widow. Why? Couldn't let him go. Nor will you, till you have heard from his own mouth that he has chosen me. Does that meet a case this night? Oh, I pray it might. And I would earnestly pray that the answer may be given. But that may not be according to his will. But it's the exercise there. There'd be a trial of that faith in your heart if the exercise is there. But cry on. Plead still. For here is the witness that you are seeking for, that the Lord has begun his work in your soul. Cry on, for he will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Zion, to the righteous it shall be well. But we must just press on a little further to describe, in some measure, these characters who are the first part of our text, the righteous. Now, this same holy word of truth said there's none righteous. Now, not one. And I say the word is truth. It cannot lie. None righteous. No, not one. Not amongst all the sons of men. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And sin did our mother conceive us. Our very nature, our hearts, all is sin. Where then is this righteousness to be found? Who are righteous in God's sight? There's nothing can be found at all on nature's ground that can be pleaded. No, all that we can find, no matter how hard we search, is that which is vile. And that's where the wonder of the gospel comes in. That's where the wonder of salvation by Christ is made known and revealed by the blessed Spirit of truth to these anxious, burdened, troubled seekers. Look here, the Lord declares, thy beauty's all in me, every bit of it. Some of our hymn writers have taken this subject up concerning that righteousness which is imputed to the believer. It's a wonderful mercy to be able to enter into such language as these hymns express. But it cannot be until, stripped of every fancied meekness, we approach the dread I am and cry, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought him with all my heart, an urgent pressing case. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy, that have come with a case, unable in themselves to do any one thing for their salvation, for their comfort, for the honour of God. Nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. That's how they come. And then the blessed Spirit, having brought them there, makes it known that this is the beginning of his work of grace in their soul. How have they come there? What has brought them to that spot? What has turned them aside from their own thoughts and the things of the world? From the death that prevailed within them, what has brought them? The power of God, the voice. Oh, we said just now, to make our calling and election sure. Here's the calling. Rightly called. The righteous are rightly called. Not the voice of man. Not all the blandishments of the flesh. However spiritual seemingly they may be. However religious they may be, that's not the call that brings a sinner to know his need of a Saviour and brings into hope in the mercy of God through the atonement of his well-beloved Son, the Lamb of God. No, it's a right call. The Holy Ghost quickens and makes alive, causes the voice to go forth from heaven and enter into that heart, convinces of sin, and then they're brought to seek. Oh, do you know something of this? Do I know anything of it that we can testify even before our God? Lord, this is thy doing. It's marvellous in my eyes. Why hast thou so dealt with me? Why hast thou so wrought upon my heart to bring me, a guilty, lost and ruined sinner, to a place of hope? Ah, rightly called. And what does that call bring about? Why, by grace in exercise, that grace imparted, it reveals. Called, chosen of God, called by grace. Then, where does it lead? Why, to him who is needful to fulfill all that grace in the heart desires, even Jesus Christ. Here is the righteousness, and here alone is the righteousness to which this word of our text applies. For to the righteous it shall be well. And it shall be well in everything, in every state and condition, because this is Christ's righteousness. And what does the apostle say when he writes to Corinthians? All things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. That's the fullness. There's the fullness of what should be well for the righteous. But it's all centered in Christ. So, how vital that we have a saving knowledge and interest in him who provides this righteousness. I just turn to one hymn on this subject that's come upon the mind. The hymn writer here, Mr. Berridge, says, imputed righteousness in strange, nor will with human fancies range. We guess the lurking motive well, and pull the hateful truth shall tell. Nature can't enter into this blessing. Nature will never receive that it needs a covering, not its own. Proud nature cries with loathing eyes, this imputation I despise. Well, let's ask ourselves. Does it offend us? Or does it make that aching void rejoice? Tell me, Saviour, can there be amongst thy children clothed with this righteousness room for me? Hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, they shall be satisfied, filled. Blessed soul that can say, Christ only I see. And so Mr. Berridge goes on, and from it she will pertly start, till grace has broken down her heart. Now, how does this last verse suit your case concerning this righteousness of Christ? Oh, give me, Lord, thy righteousness to be my peace and wedding dress. My sores it heals, my rags it hides, and makes me dutiful beside. You see, all you need in Jesus dwells. Do you wonder then that there's a comfort for these poor seeking ones when the word declares to them, come unto me. Come unto me. Ye burdened, needy, heavy laden ones, come unto me. I will give you rest. And that rest will be a spiritual rest, and it will be an eternal rest. It will be a rest that when time things are done with all the battle finished, a rest perfect peace. Oh, to be a subject of this calling. Now we've sung in our opening, in our hymn concerning those sheep of God, sheep of Christ's fold, whom the Good Shepherd calls, and he calls them by their name. It comes very close, oh, this text does. There's no generalities here. He's not just speaking, the Word of God is not speaking here denominationally. No, the Good Shepherd calls his own sheep by name, every one of them, and they hear him, and they respond. Makes me dutiful beside. Oh, is there in us, by the grace of God, under this calling a heart, submissive me, the great Redeemer's throne? Why, if this be the case, the word of our text is blessed indeed. Say ye to these, it shall be well with thee. They shall eat the fruit of their doings, and all the fruits of the Spirit are love. Oh, there's so much that could be spoken concerning those blessings to which the righteous shall enter into. But the question remains, is it my portion? It will bring this anxious inquiry, Lord, tell me that I am thine. Speak to my inmost soul and say, oh, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go in peace. Or to know and feel that this blessed, sacred robe of imputed righteousness is cast around us. Yes, when rightly called, the Holy Spirit will lead on in every needful teaching. Rightly taught, the soul that waits upon the Lord, waits for instruction, waits to hear the voice behind them say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Rightly taught, they will not go astray. This is another evidence. If you find the influences of the Spirit at work in your heart, amidst your fears, that's directing you. And it'll always direct you to one way, one place, and one blessed object, and that's His dear Son. If you find there's a drawing out of your desire after Christ, then you have this witness. A good hope that the Holy Spirit is teaching you, and you're amongst the righteous. None desire Him but those in whom this work is begun, and as He begins it, He'll continue. Yes, there will be this teaching. And as He teaches, He makes them know their need of a guide. This good shepherd of the sheep, who calls his own sheep by name, he leads them forth in a right way. So they're rightly led. The 107th Psalm declares he led them forth by a right way, that they should come to a city of habitation. He wouldn't lead them any other way. Oh, trust in Him, He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What though the storms arise? What though there are mountains to be overcome? What about those stumbling blocks that so often bring us in much fear and to wonder where we are? Are we in the way still, or have we turned aside? No, He'll lead thee. Sweet line, He'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary we can find. But they shall never lose their God, and God will never lose His sight. No, not those whom He's clothed with the righteousness of His own beloved Son. at that tremendous cost of time. Now he'll lead them forth. Is he leading us? Have we some evidence of this? We must have the answer in our own heart and conscience. We must have it sealed if we're to find comfort indeed. Or we may come again and again to the services of God's house. Are there times when you have some sweet witness, some seal, some token for good? Then you'll bless God. You'll come with the psalmist, "I will bless the Lord, for he remembered me in my low estate. For you heard my prayer, led forth." But we shall have to leave it very much unfinished. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. And we'll close with just this brief thought, that when the storms of life are done, they shall know the blessing of the righteous, for they will be rightly gathered in. The harvest gathered home. There be no mistake there. No. All the rubbish will have been destroyed when that harvest is gathered. Rightly gathered. As fruit fully ripe. He doth all things well. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Fear not. Fear not, poor, trembling, troubled, anxious soul. It shall be well. On Jesus' aid rely. Oh, pray for faith and hope and patience to be given to you. The same one who's given you the desire. The same one who's put in your heart those drawings after him. He will fulfill the desire of the righteous. That's his pleasure. That's what he's designed to do. And when in this time state you receive some word by the way, some gracious promise fulfilled, something that causes you to look beyond the earthly scene to an inheritance prepared, then your heart will bless the Lord for his goodness. And you'll say, "Lord, keep me near. Guard me well on every hand. Suffer me not to depart from thy precepts. Make me jealous for thy honour." These are the thoughts that will spring forth from the heart. They must, if they're from God, because the righteous, with them, it shall be well. We must leave it. May he pardon anything said amiss. Bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.